Kickoffs at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Sunday. Get those lineups set early. And yeah, I am pretty excited to wake up and watch football. This is the Fantasy Football Today podcast presented by Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter the offer code FUN at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. Yeah, you know, football at 9:30 a.m. is a beautiful thing. Now I know what all the people on the West Coast get to experience every day.
Yeah, but they have to do it at 6:30 now.
Yeah, that's kind of rough. That's
you know,
rough.
I just picture Adam in his jammies on his couch. Jammies are like, you know, superhero, like matching shirt and pants.
Oh, no. He sleeps in the Beckham jersey.
And
what do you honestly think?
Cereal.
What do you think
He's
I sleep
He's just kind
in?
Of nodding and rocking, his whole body rocking. Here's excited a, to like, watch football.
Here's a here's a disturbing question for you. What do you think I sleep in? I sleep in the same thing every night.
No. We're not going there.
Wait, you want to tell that story, but you don't want to tell the other one?
All right. Yes.
Well, to be honest, we've already told the other one. We've just told it in very small parts over the course of the last 2.5
Why
years.
Would you say very small parts, Dave? Very, very inappropriate. There was a survey that, you know, Ethan, West Virginia Ethan, who likes to Photoshop us all the time. He put up a survey yesterday. I don't know if you saw. Whose body is covered with more hair? Heath Cummings, Bigfoot, Adam Azer, or Zoe the Cat? Only 48 votes were cast.
You won at that.
In a landslide. I got 28 of the 48. Heath got 10, and Bigfoot and Zoe were tied at 5 votes each.
Poor Zoe.
Well, we beat Bigfoot? I think that's a little unfair. And I think I cast like 3 of the votes for Bigfoot.
Doesn't sound like a scientific poll.
Yeah.
No, not really. Today's starter sit for the NFC home games, and we did Seattle-Detroit yesterday. So if you want to hear about that game, that's going to be on yesterday's podcast. We're going to, of course, talk about last night's overtime thriller and plenty more. Email of the day is from Lewis. And where's Lewis from?
Pensacola, Florida.
True or false, with Vic at quarterback, Antonio Brown will produce no better than a fifth-round wide receiver. Please heal quickly, Ben. What do you think, Jamie?
False. Absolutely false. If he catches a touchdown, that was a tough catch, but if he comes away with it, there is not one complaint about Antonio Brown today.
Nope. He had 9 targets, still had 5 catches, just didn't have good yardage.
His streak of 5 for 50 ends at 36 games. Now, Adam, did you know that Antonio Brown has never caught a touchdown pass from any quarterback not named Ben Roethlisberger?
Oh, I did not know that.
What about the Pro Bowl?
How interesting.
Does he have a touchdown in the Pro Bowl?
Does the Pro Bowl even matter?
Does preseason matter? Maybe he caught a touchdown from somebody in the preseason.
Maybe.
So, I will...
Adam, you like another interesting stat about the Steelers?
Yes.
There's been twice in Ben Roethlisberger's career where he's missed 4 games. In those 2 years where he's missed 4 games, they have won the Super Bowl.
Really?
2005, 2010.
Not happening this year.
You say that with confidence, huh?
Yeah. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Now they're 2-2.
I think they're in trouble. This was such a winnable game. I mean, could Baltimore have played worse? Could Flacco have played worse? And the Steelers lost.
Can Josh Gobe come work for us next week when he's looking for a job?
It's awful.
Wait a minute. Why do you want him?
Huh?
Why do you want him to come and work for us?
Why not?
Because his accuracy will be wide left.
So he's like us.
Sometimes we're right down the middle.
Let's talk about the game. 23-20 Baltimore.
Did you kick a field goal?
I have before.
You have?
I mean, like, just fooling around. Like, I mean, like, you know, 20, 25 yards. Not like it would
really?
Be very far.
I've never tried, and I don't know if I could do it. Like, I think it's a lot harder than it looks.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not easy.
Right.
It's not that difficult.
How much control do you really have over it? Like, once the ball's in the air.
You know, it would probably take me a few warm-up kicks, but yeah.
It's just, everybody kind of goes crazy over field goal kickers and how they think there should always be automatic, but I'm...
Well, there was a pretty good example of what an automatic kicker and a non-automatic kicker looked like last night.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, go back to...
I think it's a real skill.
I don't know. I'm assuming if you watched the post-game interview with Tracy Wolfson and Joe Flacco, he said he wanted to try another play at the end. Mm-hmm. Or another couple plays at the end. And he said, but then he realized we have the best kicker in football and let him go do his thing. You know, and that's, I think, the difference with Vincent Guy versus what the Steelers are dealing with.
Well, week one, Scobie arguably cost them that game, too. He was really bad at New England.
Yeah, I got a feeling he's going to be out of a job.
Yep.
Baltimore 23, Pittsburgh 20 in overtime. Steve Smith left with a back contusion. He had a disappointing game. Breshad Perriman had arthroscopic knee surgery. So is there any reason to stash Perryman at this point? Assuming
only
you
if you have an IR spot and it's a dynasty league or long-term keeper
league. Yeah, okay. That's fair. But in a typical fantasy league, no way.
Right. The Ravens allowed a 100-yard rusher for the first time since 2013, week six, and Le'Veon Bell was tremendous.
It took him overtime, though, to get the 100 yards.
It did. It did. Yeah, what that touchdown,
though,
was... He's
still a good game before great. Overtime. No one's complaining.
Yeah. Right. And seven catches, which was nice to see. He's still great in PPR. All right, what your thoughts on Forsett here? And well, Flacco's 87% owned, so I imagine people are going to be pretty upset with him, and they might drop him. But Flacco, Forsett, your thoughts on those two guys?
Well, look, I mean, this is what you're hoping for Forsett all season. You know, double-digit fantasy points. And so...
How about the carries? He had 27 carries.
He should have.
Where was he the first three weeks of the season?
Got off to a great start. You know, I asked this question on Twitter, because you look at the way the Steelers' run defense had been through the first 3 weeks, it's been very good. And I said, do you think there's more Forsett? You know, just, I know my opinion, but more Forsett or more the Steelers? And, you know, we do the show Thursday night, Adam. So I was driving home listening to the Westfield One radio broadcast. And I forget who the analyst was, but they were bringing up that it seemed as if they went back to the schemes from last year. And you remember in the offseason, Trestman said, we're going to keep the same run style that Kubiak had. And I wonder if they got away from that the first 3 weeks of the season, and they went back to more zone reads last night to take advantage of some things that, you know, they know the Steelers obviously fairly well. So I wonder if they went back to some things that's more their bread and butter.
Well, also, yeah, it was a Thursday night game, which usually benefits running backs, but certainly good to see for Forsett. Are you going to feel confident starting him next week? The Ravens have Cleveland next week, and they obviously have been terrible against the run.
Yeah, I would have no problem starting him.
Yep.
Any interest in Darius Heyward-Bey, who's caught a touchdown in two of his last three games? But, of course, Martavis Bryant back next week.
Exactly. Martavis will be back, and that'll probably push Heyward-Bey into a third role. Because Wheaton got hurt.
Yep.
So he might take Wheaton's spot, and Martavis ends up playing a lot more.
If Michael Vick throws that pass any more to the right or further to the left...
Oh, to Heyward-Bey on the touchdown? He can't catch a ball with two hands, but he can catch it with one elbow. That is Darius Heyward-Bey.
Quick reminder, everybody, if you want picks, really good, accurate picks and projections, go to sportsline.com/podcast. Sign up for just $10 a month. Get the projections we always talk about, A, B, or C grades on picks against the spread and over-unders for every football and baseball game. And DFS help, too. FanDuel help. We have a DFS optimal lineup on Sportsline. Sportsline.com/podcast, $10 a month for some really great info. And there is a lot of free content, too. Reminding you again, we have a DFS podcast that I publish every Saturday. It was actually recorded yesterday, so keep that in mind just with injury news and stuff like that. But Chris Towers and Heath Cummings on the DFS podcast, I'll be putting that out tomorrow for you FanDuelers. And Eye on Fantasy Football, 10 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night until midnight. Of course, watch Fantasy Football Today, Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern. Now listen, I never thought building a website would be fun and enjoyable. I kind of thought it'd be a chore, but that was before I started using Squarespace. Last year, I made my website with Squarespace, and it's awesome. So many different designs and options to choose from. It was a piece of cake. I'm not the best with technology, but I had no trouble making the site. You won't either. If you want to make a website, a portfolio, or an online store, you have to use Squarespace. Squarespace is huge now. Millions of people are trusting Squarespace. You've seen the ads. You should start using it too. It starts at just $8 a month and includes a free domain if you sign up for a year. That is a great offer. If you want another great offer, how about this? Go to squarespace.com right now. Start a free trial site today. No credit card required. And use our offer code FUN. Again, that offer code is FUN. You're going to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace.com. Enter the offer code FUN. Build it beautiful. Big questions for week four. So it looks like they're keeping the Eagles-Redskins game on Sunday, not moving it. Will weather play a factor, though, overall? Do fantasy owners need to track the weather?
Yes, they should, just to see exactly where the storm is, how close it is to the coast, and whether or not wind will be affected.
You got to pay. I mean, look, there's really the running backs is not going to matter. Weather is not going to impact them. It's Jordan Matthews is the only must-start receiver, and Jordan Reed is the only must-start tight end. So outside of those two guys, I don't think a lot of people are buying Sam Bradford at this point anymore. You're certainly not starting Kirk Cousins. Garcon is a question mark for a lot of people in their lineups.
I like Garcon.
I like Garcon this week too, but I don't like him in a storm. I don't think he's that good of a player that you start. Like Matthews, I would start. Mm-hmm. I take my chances with him, but I wouldn't take my chances with Garçon.
You're talking about Garçon as if there's no chance. Well, as if DeSean Jackson's not going to play. You don't expect him to play?
No.
No.
What a shame, because, I mean, he just destroys Philadelphia since the trade.
Yep.
So that is a shame. All right, next question. Are the Colts and Saints players hands off if their quarterbacks either don't play or play hurt?
Well, not the running backs. The running backs, in fact, are hands on.
Okay.
Give me Mark Ingram. Give me Frank Gore. Give me CJ Spiller in a PPR. I think anybody who's good at getting targets.
You feel confident starting CJ Spiller at this point?
As a PPR flex, deeper league, yeah, no problem. Especially if Breeze is back, I think that's better. They want to get him more involved, and they should. And if they're going to be run-based, they need more than Mark Ingram.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with they want to get him more involved. I'm not starting until I see him, though. I'm not at the point of desperation yet, running backs. I'd rather start like a Lance Dunbar.
I'm curious to see how Andrew Luck makes it through practice on Friday. And if it looks good and he gets a full practice and gets the old vote of confidence from his coaches, then I have no problem with the Colts guys. I do have a problem. I've got a problem with Saints pass catchers to begin with just because they haven't been that good. And I don't want to trust Drew Brees this week if I don't have to.
Oh, okay, now that's interesting because my next question is, do you buy into Drew Brees in prime time? So not that I'm taking credit for this. I actually was dumb for forgetting, but in a prime time game, Drew Brees at home is unbelievable. I did a little Google search and saw this from The Advocate in an article that was posted a year ago after the Saints beat Green Bay 44-23 on a Sunday night. And it was, Brees has completed 73.1% of his passes for 4,580 yards, 46 touchdowns, and only 4 interceptions the last 14 times the Saints have hosted a primetime game counting the playoffs, all of which New Orleans has won.
Yeah.
And then that was before a Monday night home game when Brees threw for 420 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Ravens, a game they actually lost.
Right.
So I had forgotten about that history, and it is really unbelievable as they have a Sunday night game against the Cowboys.
You know, it's interesting because I was reading some stuff on Brees yesterday that he felt he could have played last week. And I would imagine if he feels that good and he's able to practice all week, which by all accounts he has been, it really comes down to who you have. You know, like I said, we talked about earlier this week, Tyrod Taylor, Derek Carr, probably just a little bit safer just because the uncertainty of where Brees is. But if I have Drew Brees and he's been practicing all week, I'm going to start him.
Yeah, well, look, I started Flacco over him last night, so there you go.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that. I would have taken Brees there, but I'm still a little worried about Brees. He's got one touchdown in 4 straight games in 5 of his last 6 games. The only one he didn't have a touchdown in, more than one, or had multiple touchdowns in, at Chicago last year.
The Tampa Bay game, too?
Yeah, kind of the Tampa Bay game, too.
And last question.
Yeah, but that's where he got hurt.
Last big question for week 4 for fantasy owners. There are these questionable running backs, Arian Foster, Marshawn Lynch, DeMarco Murray, Jonathan Stewart, Andre Ellington. I'm thinking Chris Ivory's probably no longer in this boat because it looks like he's going to play. But what do you do in these situations, particularly Monday night? I know we did talk about it yesterday, but we had another practice. We had another practice report, more injury updates. I mean, these running backs that I mentioned, how many of them are you going to feel comfortable with?
Well, Adam, we had Jason Okafora on Thursday Night Live last night, and that was basically the entire session with him was running back.
Is this guy going to play? Right.
He made it sound as if Foster is going to play. He made it sound as if Lynch, if he does play, is not going to get his full workload. I think he said his quote was, he's going to be break glass
in case of emergency.
You know, so like if they're in trouble, they'll put him out there. But otherwise, you have to assume he's not going to get his usual workload, so you probably want to dial him back. Murray, by all accounts, looks like he's going to play. I think he was upgraded to full in practice yesterday.
Right. They're still saying it's going to be a game time decision, but at this point, and I think it's unfortunate, I think he's going to play. I'd almost rather him
not play. Right. It ruins what Ryan Matthews could be.
Mm-hmm. And it ruins what Murray could be because Matthews is going to get that much more of the workload after what he did last week.
Now, Ellington is interesting because it sounded as if it was going to be full go, but now Bruce Arians saying 50-50. And I think what they'll probably end up doing is not playing him, even if he's active. So I'd be hesitant to even touch Andre Ellington.
And so the one guy that I think he can buy into is Chris Ivory. But even, I think he's going to split carries. I don't think he's going to be the every down or even 70% guy.
I think if they build a lead, it's going to be him doing a big part of it. And if they have a lead, then maybe it's Bilal Powell at the end of the game. I have no problem starting Chris Ivory.
Right. He's the only one so far that I feel confident of.
Oh, no, but if Foster's active, I'm starting him without question.
I'm worried about Foster only having a part-time role. I'll still probably end up starting him because you know how it is. These coaches get these players in the game, and Arian feels good, and he's making plays. Next thing you know, he's in on every down.
They've been given a lucky situation so far, the Texans have, that no one has run away in that division.
Mm-hmm.
And so their defense has played poorly. Their offense has played poorly prior to last week. They've given a gift. And if they can steal a game this week, which I don't know if you even call it stealing, but going into Atlanta, that's undefeated.
That's a steal at this point.
Come out of that 2-2 and then get the Colts with maybe a banged up Andrew Luck on Thursday night, that's a great situation if you're the Texans.
Now, if you think Foster might just be used more on passing downs or something like that, how about this stat? What's that?
Love it.
Yeah. How about this? Look at what running backs have done to Atlanta in the passing game. Darren Sproles, 7 catches, 76 yards. DeMarco Murray in that same game, 4 catches for 11 yards and a touchdown. Shane Vereen, 8 catches for 76 yards. And Lance Dunbar, 10 for 100. So at least 76 yards to a running back in all three games.
Well, Adam, we probably made more of a joke of it on our video show than we did in here. So last week, I was not necessarily hammering the point home, but I was like, Gary Barnes has a good opportunity, good matchup, and he took advantage of it. So I said this week my Gary Barnage is Jonathan Grimes. If Zach Foster's out.
Yeah.
For that situation. Exactly.
Yep.
But if Foster's in, he gets to take advantage and
Foster will be their passing down guy.
Yeah. He might turn it like I said, he might turn into their running downs guy too, if he looks pretty good.
No, he'll be their every down guy. He's not gonna come in the play and he's not gonna be Todd Gurley.
You don't think they're gonna ease him in a little bit first game?
Yes, so we'll have 20 touches as opposed to 30.
Well, okay, well here's a question that I know you guys like Carlos Williams a lot. You like Carlos Hyde a lot. Any other guys named Carlos you might like a lot. Would you start those guys over Arian Foster if Arian Foster is active?
Oh man, it'd be tough. I think I probably would go Carlos Williams over him, but I don't know if I go Carlos Hyde over him.
Okay. It's something interesting to think about. What's a conservative stat line? Let's just start with touches. Conservative touch. Does he get 10 carries if he's active?
Forget about the touches.
Does he get 10 catches?
The Falcons give up production to pass catching running backs. So he can be in that role because
how many passes does he catch?
I'm sure as well as Jonathan Grimes has played for them because he's been their passing downs guy, Arian Foster is a superior pass blocker to Jonathan Grimes. I'll say that with a lot of confidence right now. We know that the Falcons give up rushing touchdowns. They gave up, 4 last week?
Mm-hmm.
They've given up at least one every week so far this year. That's certainly a role that Foster could play at the goal line. So even if he gets 15 touches, it could be 6 catches, and it could be 3 goal line opportunities.
80 yards and a touchdown? Could Arian Foster get 80 yards and a touchdown?
I'd feel comfortable with that if he's active.
Well, then that's got to be ahead of Carlos Hyde.
Yeah.
And it's pretty darn close, if not slightly ahead of Carlos Williams.
The thing that you'd have to decide is you're looking at Devontae Freeman, who was either on your bench or you picked up off waivers in a 10-team league. You're looking at Carlos Williams, who was added off waivers. You're talking about Melvin Gordon, who hasn't done really anything yet through 3 weeks of his NFL career. Foster is in that mix for me, and it's hard to argue that he's not better than them if he's active.
Okay. I went through your rankings. I saw two guys that kind of stood out as, big differences in Dave and Jamie's rankings. One really big and one not quite as big, but Alfred Morris. Jamie, you do not like him at all. He's outside your top 30. Dave, he's number 16 for you, Alfred Morris, in standard leagues, and number 21 in PPR against Philadelphia. It's so interesting when you look at this game, Philadelphia and Washington, the defenses have actually played pretty well this year. Dave, why do you like Alfred Morris this week?
I think he's going to be the lead back for Washington. I think he's going to get more than just the first opportunity. I think this is a chance. I think he's getting another chance, especially after Matt Jones fumbled last week.
I feel like that fumble has affected your thoughts on Matt Jones.
I think it's impacted the Redskins' thoughts on Matt Jones.
But we don't know that, do we?
I think we're going to find out pretty quickly on Sunday against Philadelphia.
I don't want either one of them. They're just going to start to split carries too much where you're banking on one scoring a touchdown. It hasn't been consistent with either one of these guys so far. And why would all of a sudden Alfred Morris be the lead guy and the dominant guy? He may get the first opportunity. I don't disagree with you on that. He may get the first.
Could he be dominant like he was in week one?
No, he will not be dominant against the
defense. I think he could.
They haven't given any indication that they've allowed production to running backs going back through last year. Since Chip Kelly has been there, they've been very good against the run. So Alfred Morris last year in two games, he had basically the same stat line. He scored in one game. He didn't score in the other.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he gets 80 yards rushing again. I don't see that because I don't see him getting 20 carries. It took him 20 carries to get 80 yards last year. He's not going to be a 20-carry guy. Matt Jones has proven himself to be worthy of touches. And if this game gets out of control, we saw what happened last week. So
yeah,
if
it's Chris Thompson.
If it's a 10-point deficit, I think they abandon the run. And Chris Thompson was certainly serviceable for a quarterback that is more inclined to check down than challenge down the field.
But they kind of did that last week, too. They were down by 10, and it was relatively early when they were down by 10 in that game. And they abandoned the run quickly then. And even Jay Gruden said after the game, we got away from it too soon.
Sure.
So I think that they're going to try and apply lessons from their last game, which is don't trust the fumbling rookie and don't get away from the run too soon.
I don't have a problem Morris ranked ahead of, or if you or anybody else thinks Morris is better than Jones. I'm shocked you have him as high as you do. Mm-hmm. I don't see Alfred Morris producing top 20 production whatsoever. By the way, on the CBS Sports Network, they already have the Jets winning leading 6-0.
No kidding.
The scroll has it 6-0 Jets.
Who oh,
scored?
Man.
I don't know.
So much for my upset pick.
Two field goals.
It says Marshall has one catch for 10 yards. Tannehill, 1 for 3 for 15 yards and a pick. Lamar Miller, 2 carries for 10 yards.
This is weird. Matt Hazel has a catch for 15 yards.
Yeah.
All right, one more rankings difference. This one not like, as drastic, but Mike Evans. Jamie, you have him outside your top 24, just outside your top 24. Dave, yep. You have Mike Evans 18th in standard, PPR 19th. Jamie, I'll give you the first word on Evans against Carolina.
Yeah, I buy into Josh Norman. I mean, look, he's faced the best comparison is DeAndre Hopkins because clearly bad quarterback situation, elite-level receiver, has shown to be, you know, good, certainly going back to last year and what we've seen from, you know, him this year. And he held him to 5 for 53, and he made it really difficult on him. And so I think you look at the way this guy is playing right now against some, you know, top guys, and Allen Robinson was the first one. He held him to one catch for 27 yards. Now, he matched up some with Brandon Cooks last week, a slot guy, so it's not exactly the same type of player. And Cooks had 7 for 79, but I don't look at that as the indication of what Mike Evans is going to do. Evans last year played him twice, had 2 catches for 13 yards and a touchdown in one game, and was basically shut down in week 1. It was first NFL game, so it's hard to say he's going to play well in that matchup. But I just buy into Norman as being one of these better cornerbacks in the NFL in a contract year, and he's taking guys out, and I think Evans is going to struggle.
When I initially ranked Evans, it was because Josh Norman was on the injury report.
He was never really on the injury report.
And he's never really been on the injury. He just hasn't practiced this week. He's got some issue going on that no one is talking about, but it doesn't have to do with his health, we don't think. So Evans is probably too high.
Now, okay. I will say this, Adam, because I have Evans in a couple leagues, and he was the first receiver I drafted when I went, you know, in some cases where I went running back and tight end or different route. I can't afford to sit him. And I know a lot of people are in that same situation. You know, so, like, I'm in a couple 14-team leagues where I have Mike Evans. I'm not benching him. So I'll take my chances with him. And that's why he's not lower.
Right. And look, it was encouraging that Jameis Winston threw to him like 19 times last
17
week.
17 times.
17
yeah.
times, right. So he could fall into some production. All right, rankings call out. From me to you, I think you're too high on Devontae Freeman. You guys have him in the top 12. Houston's done a nice job against running backs, and I'm just not willing to buy into Freeman, who's been bad for a year and two games, and then was very good last week. I would be worried that he's going to burn fantasy owners. Tell me why you guys have Devontae Freeman in the top 12.
I'll tell you, when I initially ranked it, I had him closer to 15, and then I started looking at the guys around him. The thing that I like about it is week 1, Tevin Coleman had 80 yards rushing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Week 2, he got off to a decent start, Coleman did, and then Freeman scored a touchdown. Week 3, they ran the ball with a lot of success. I think you got to give a little bit of credit to this Falcons offensive line turning the corner from where they were a year ago. I also think that his pass catching ability puts him in not the same conversation as these dual threats that are great, like a Le'Veon Bell by any stretch. But the 5 for 50 last week was almost as impressive, if not more so, than what he did running the ball. And I know that says a lot because he was so successful running the ball. But I think you can get 4 for 30 from him pretty easily as a receiver with the chance to score. He scored now in two straight games. And I think he'll get you somewhere in the neighborhood of 60, 70 rushing yards. So I would say 100 and a touchdown is very realistic for him in this matchup.
I just like that he's a running back that's going to get a lot of work, because there aren't a lot of those guys left in left for fantasy owners to take advantage
of. Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I'm looking at the rankings now, and it's hard to come up with guys who are ranked behind him that I think are going to be better, because just it's the state of the running back.
If you want to do the exercise, you could say Melvin Gordon versus Devontae Freeman, Carlos Williams versus Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, I would take
Carlos
Williams.
Carlos Hyde is another one. Maybe even Joseph Randall.
I would take Hyde over him, I think.
But that's fine.
And
they're
all
in that.
But they're all right. They're all within two spots in the ranking. So I understand it. It's just maybe it's a tier thing where after a certain amount of running backs, you don't feel great about it anymore. I don't know, but I just can't feel great about Devontae Freeman because he's Devontae Freeman.
I think saying it's a tier thing is exactly right. The difference is, compared to everybody else in that tier, it's not a great matchup. It's not a horrible matchup. And he's going to be the every down guy.
Now, he's a flex option for a lot of guys just based on maybe you pick them up off waivers. Maybe you draft them really late. So would you start Devontae Freeman or Pierre Garçon?
Freeman.
Yeah, you got to go Freeman there.
Would you start Calvin Johnson or Devontae Freeman?
Freeman.
Freeman.
Ooh.
Even in PPR.
Okay, okay. Carson Palmer is the, oh no, Andy Dalton is the start of the week. Carson Palmer was last week's.
Yep.
So you guys have him as a top six quarterback. He's been really good. Are you worried about him though against St. Louis, which has only allowed two passing touchdowns this season?
No.
Okay.
Tiny bit.
Tiny bit. Tiny worried bit. About him maybe enough to not use him in FanDuel?
Sure. You could say that. And I think a lot of people are going to use him in FanDuel because they're going to think that he's, you know, an automatic for multiple touchdowns at 300 yards each week. But I don't think Arizona is going to change what they try to do just because St. Louis is only allowed two passing touchdowns.
Yeah, and look at the quarterbacks that they face, too. Russell Wilson's not exactly a best thrower.
Mm-hmm. Roethlisberger got hurt.
He still had 24 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was like 20 of 24 or something.
Yeah.
But he just didn't throw a touchdown. All right, then. Injuries, news, and notes. Just run through a lot of the things that we talked about already, but Chris Ivory practiced in full. Mike Pettine says he wants to get Duke Johnson involved in space. Did he mean outer space or more often? So they'll try to get him some more touches. Victor Cruz has been ruled out for this week. Andrew Luck was limited in practice. Drew Brees was limited. We've touched on that. Joik Bell missed practice with an ankle injury.
Oh, my God. What am I going to do? oh, my gosh.
I was surprised that you picked him up.
I did pick him up. So I dropped him for Anthony Dixon for $16. Because I thought he was Carlos Williams, and then I picked up Joik Bell for another $2.
What are you doing?
Listen. It's a 14-team league. Any running back that could fall into the end zone on a regular basis deserves to be owned. And
why are you wasting $18?
Well, I didn't. The $16 is obviously a big mistake. $2 to get Bell back. I thought maybe I won't get him for zero or one. I'm not regretting the $2.
Oh, that's going to come back to hurt you.
The $2? I mean, the 16 will, but we've talked about that all week. But the $2?
Yeah, the $2 is going to hurt you, too.
Listen, the thing about Bell was he got off to a bad start last year because he was hurt. And he missed all of training camp and he missed all the preseason. I'm not completely ruling out that Joik Bell could contribute
at
some point. Yes,
but last year Reggie Bush was hurt, too.
Yeah, I know. Abdullah's better, but I'm not completely ruling out. It's a 14-team league. Like, any running back with a pulse that can score a touchdown should be owned.
Okay, it's a fair point.
That's fine, but also $2 could be valuable in a 14-team league where somebody else you may be able to... Michael.
Yeah, Joik Bell could be valuable in a 14-team league, so shut up. Doug Martin expected to play after hurting his knee in practice. Julio Jones returned to practice. Jonathan Stewart is questionable. Do you expect him to play? He's got a nice matchup.
He's had nice matchups all season.
I know.
He's so annoying.
And it'll get even more annoying when Fozzie Whitaker goes off for a big game.
Jonathan Stewart facing Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay looks like they are the Tennessee of last year's Tennessee this year. DeMarco Murray practicing full. LeSean McCoy and Sammy Watkins likely to sit. All right, do you expect Devontae Adams?
No.
Nope.
Dwayne Allen?
No.
Actually, he returned to practice yesterday on a limited basis, so keep an eye on that.
Get out of there, Dwayne Allen.
Yep.
Jordan Cameron?
Yeah.
Eric Decker?
He returned to practice on a limited basis, too, but I would say no.
Tevin Coleman?
No.
Brandon Cooks?
Yes.
Alshon Jeffrey?
Yes. I think so.
Jay Cutler.
It's looking better for him.
Might be a 50-50 type deal.
Yep.
DeSean Jackson, no.
It would say a lot for Jay Cutler if he could play.
I agree.
All right. Now, usually we're at the 30-minute mark. We're usually into the games by now. But as you've noticed, we're doing things a little bit differently. I want to talk about players that I think are hot topic guys. And then we'll kind of pick up the scraps as we go through the game. So it's time now for three you like and three you don't like. Dave's three you like. Colin Kaepernick. Talk about history against an opponent, Dave. He's facing Green Bay.
That's what it's all about. And the Packers haven't changed their defensive coordinator. They haven't changed a lot about their defense. They're missing at least one key defender this week. And Kaepernick has just owned them. You know, he's a Milwaukee guy. Revenge factor, hometown factor, it's all there. He's never lost to Green Bay either. And he's averaged 36 fantasy points per game against them. And it's a good spot for the 49ers. Their backs are against the wall. Forget about what you think about the 49ers. They think that they can get back into things with a win. They need a win. Green Bay played on Monday, and now they're on the road at San Francisco. I think it's going to be a challenging game for the Packers defense, and I think Kaepernick can put up some good numbers. I'm trusting him this week. I like him.
Number nine.
You know, it's funny, and I think your points are valid, though, but you know, you mentioned this a lot about defense coordinator changing or not changing. How much do you factor in offensive coordinator changing? Shouldn't that matter, too?
Of course it should. That's a fair point, but I actually like Jeep Chris better for Kaepernick.
Oh, that's fine. I'm just saying, you know, you never touch on this.
Because Greg Olson is 1st and 10, let's run. 2nd and 11,
yeah, but
11,
that's been great for Kaepernick against the Packers.
3rd and 9, let's run.
And it's been great for Kaepernick, though.
Well, no, because for whatever reason, the training wheels come off for him against the Packers, and he puts up good numbers. I don't think it's got as much to do about the play call.
No, but that would be the point, is that he's...
I think it has to do more with the defense than it does the play call.
Sure. My concern with Kaepernick is, you know,
he sucks.
If he's turning into Matt Schaub, and it's pick six after pick six after pick six, does he have a quick hook?
Hmm.
And do they turn to Blaine Gabbert?
He's throwing
pick six.
I would doubt it.
It's bad for your fantasy team whether he plays or not.
All right, Kaepernick or Derek Carr.
Carr.
Dave would go Kaepernick here.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the rankings.
I think there's more upside.
Back to back, though.
Right. Kaepernick. I don't think there's more upside. I think there's a lot more downside.
Dave, you like Chris Johnson this week against the Rams?
Opportunity, workload, matchup.
Chris Johnson.
I'm trying to forget his name and who he is in his past. I'm just looking at those three factors.
Devontae Freeman or Chris Johnson?
Freeman.
Danny Woodhead or Chris Johnson?
CJ1K.
What about in PPR?
CJ1K.
And you like Alshon Jeffrey this week?
I can't call him CJ1K until he actually gets 1K. He's CJOK. 0K.
CJOK.
He's okay right now. CJOK.
All right, Alshon Jeffrey against Oakland.
He plays, whether it's with Clawson or not, it's just another player with good talent and a great opportunity because Oakland's pass defense is awful with a capital A.
And Oakland's quarterback has been playing well, and Jamie likes Derek Carr at Chicago, where the Raiders are road favorites. They're favorites for the first time in, like, forever. Road favorites for forever and then some. Anyway, I only had one thought on this game, Jamie. The Bears are not giving up a lot of pass attempts. I think they have the third fewest pass attempts a game. Teams want to run on them. Does that dampen your enthusiasm for Derek Carr?
No. I mean, he's not going to have what he did 2 weeks ago. I think, you know, he'll be closer to 20 than he will to 24, but I still think he gets you 20. I mean, look, Amari Cooper's playing great right now.
Yeah.
Michael Crabtree's become somewhat relevant.
How about
he's
Murray?
Getting touchdowns from Seth Roberts has become his version of James Jones.
Yeah.
You know, so I think you got to buy into what Carr is right now, and certainly if you're missing Roethlisberger or any of these other guys, that's easy an easy bye week replacement.
Yeah, I mean, and Latavius Murray's getting something from him in the passing game, too. And yep. I was actually wrong about the stats. Seattle and the Bears are tied fewest pass attempts against in the NFL. But it's only 3 weeks. It's only 3 weeks. James Jones, must-start guy, Jamie?
Oh, he's become that already, for sure.
Okay.
So with Devontae Adams not playing, potentially, or most likely, you know, you got to buy into the touchdown streak, and you got to buy into the matchup, and you got to buy into the way that he's being used.
Who do you guys like better this week, Alshon Jeffrey or James Jones?
Jones.
I have Jeffrey higher.
Martellus Bennett is on Jamie's like list.
Go for it. I mean, if there's a better matchup on the table for any player this week, I'd love to see it. Because look at what tight ends have done against them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tyler Eifert, great game week one. Gavin Escobar, week two. Gary Barnage, week three.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bennett's got a dream situation, and you could be his quarterback, Adam, and I still like him.
I like him a lot better if Cutler's the quarterback, though. Just saying.
Now, Bennett...
Because Clawson's got a track record of not trusting his tight end very often.
Bennett, the only guy that I think realistically... Like, two guys that I think realistically could be choosing between, Bennett or Tyler Eifert. Who would you guys go with?
I'd go with Bennett.
Dave?
Eifert.
Probably, it's probably close though, right?
Wait, did you say if Cutler plays?
I didn't specify.
I care. This matters. It matters to me.
All right, if Cutler plays.
Bennett.
All right. And then I was going to say or Fleener, but you guys would go Bennett over Fleener, right?
Yep.
Three you don't like. Dave does not like Marshawn Lynch on Monday night against Detroit.
Even if he's active, I don't want to trust him because I don't know how much he's going to play.
Do you like Thomas Rawls?
He hurt his calf after week two. He hurt his hamstring after week three. It feels like a messy situation.
You like Rawls?
I would probably start Lynch over Rawls if Lynch was active.
But if
that
Lynch
might
is,
be it.
If Lynch is inactive, you like Rawls better than you like Lynch if Lynch is active. Like if Rawls is the number one guy as opposed to Lynch is the number one guy, you'd rather have Rawls? He would do a better job?
Yeah, because that means Lynch is out and Rawls has a big workload.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, Rawls' value skyrockets. You almost have to hope that they rest Lynch. If he doesn't practice on Saturday, that's what I think they'll do.
You don't like Calvin Johnson. We talked about him yesterday. He's in your top 20, but you just don't love him this week.
Yeah.
And we talked about Drew Brees. So, Jamie, your three, Alfred Morris, cross him off the list. We went through that. Mike Evans, we can cross him off the list.
Yep.
And Todd Gurley at Arizona. They've been just dominant against the run.
Right, and they're not going to give him a heavy workload.
Okay, so sit Todd Gurley and... Stash Todd Gurley, but sit Todd Gurley. People out there, if you haven't played FanDuel yet, well, you haven't seen any of their ads or something, what are you waiting for? FanDuel is awesome. They're the leader in one-week fantasy football. You want to make some money, you want to have fun playing fantasy at the same time, FanDuel is the place to be. They're paying out over $75 million a week this football season. That's ridiculous. $75 million a week. Get in on that. Sign up now. Use our offer code CBSPOD. FanDuel will match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. That gets earned as you play. And that offer code, again, it's CBSPOD. So use it or lose it. And compete against us, FanDuel.com/CBSPOD. I'm not sure. That contest might be full this week. So we do weeks 1 through 10. If you beat all three of us, you get into the week 11 contest. It's $10 to enter for the first 10 weeks. You can enter up to 10 times. All the details are there. FanDuel.com/CBSPod. Dave and I, we're going to compete. Right? Head-to-head this week? You want to hear my lineup, Dave?
No. I don't want to know it until it's time.
Why? It's going to be different from yours.
I'm not going to listen.
Jamie, you want
to
hear my
lineup?
Let me
take off my headphones and you say it.
Andy Dalton. Latavius Murray, Carlos Williams, Dante Moncrief, Randall Cobb, Julio Jones, Kobe Fleener, Graham Gano, Cardinals. You like it? Jamie?
Now I do. I muted you.
You muted me?
I didn't hear a player you say. I heard Andy Dalton, and I hit the mute button.
I didn't know what happened.
Okay. Well, I have
share
Julio.
Share with the audience. I won't listen.
So I'll probably win. Speaking of Julio, Houston's at Atlanta. Matt Ryan, a lot of confidence in Matt Ryan, guys. Number three for Jamie, number four for Dave. Only one game with more than 20 fantasy points. So I just like if you like the well, we talked about Devontae Freeman. It's not that you love him; it's based on the competition. I don't know. You think Matt Ryan has a big game here?
Yep. I always like starting Matt Ryan at home, and if Julio Jones is playing, you know you're going to love him. And Texans pass defense. I'm not buying them yet.
You know, I do have Julio Jones in my FanDuel lineup. Sorry, Dave, you weren't supposed to hear that. But I'm wondering if...
You're exposing yourself to me here, Adam.
Gross. I'm wondering if...
I meant to say your lineup.
I'm wondering if that's a mistake. You know, I think it's seasonal. There's no question you start Julio Jones. But the Texans have done pretty well against number one wide receivers. Could he have, you know, just a really good game instead of an amazing game. He is the most expensive wide receiver.
he's got to deliver huge numbers to return that cost.
Yeah. Do you think he'll get those huge numbers? Do you think Houston maybe like 80 yards and a touchdown or something?
I mean, he's one of those receivers that are uncoverable at this point.
Yeah, he
so
really is.
I don't know if he's going to have, you know, a buck 50 and a touchdown, but I think 100 and a touchdown is well within his reach.
Anyone else in the Atlanta passing game?
No. Hankerson, if you're absolutely desperate. Roddy White just can't be trusted.
This is an easy game. Okay, let's say Foster does not play. Do you like any Houston running backs?
No.
If Grimes is active, yes.
Just for the pass catching thing?
Yep,
just in PPR.
All right, but to play,
he could be worth well over 10 in a PPR.
To play devil's advocate, the running backs I mentioned that caught passes were Sproles, Vereen, and Dunbar. You're talking about two of the best in the business at catching passes, and then Brandon Whedon checking down. So I don't know. I can't realistically imagine a scenario where I'm starting Jonathan Grimes. Could you? It's a cool call.
Got to be a PPR situation. I wouldn't do it in a standard league.
I would start him over Alfred Morse.
In standard and PPR?
Yep.
Wow. That's if Foster's out, everybody. If Foster's out. DeAndre Hopkins, top 13 in both formats. Anybody else in this game?
Nope.
Kind of like the Falcons DST. Kind of.
Not a Foster play.
Yep, that's true.
Now, you guys have the Texans DST as a sit. You have the Rams DST. Dave, I think you have them in the top 12. Jamie, you don't. These are two widely owned DSTs. Earlier this week, I mentioned I would not drop Steven Gostkowski, but what about these DSTs that have tough matchups? Is it okay to drop the Texans or the Rams?
Texans are not a good DST.
Right.
They are 29th in fantasy points. So that's a myth.
Interesting. Okay, what about the Rams?
Yeah, same thing.
You can drop them?
Yep.
Okay. All right, then. Oakland at Chicago. Derek Carr, we have covered. I'll throw out some names. Derek Carr or Eli Manning?
Carr.
Derek Carr or Phillip Rivers?
Derek Carr.
Carr or Breeze?
Vroom, vroom, vroom.
Carr, but I wouldn't be surprised if Breeze has a better game.
Carr or Peyton Manning?
Peyton Manning.
All right, next up, Latavius Murray, Matt Forte. You guys love these running backs, right?
Start them.
Yep.
Dave, I have Latavius Murray in my FanDuel lineup. I'm going to just gradually expose myself more and more to you, Dave.
Oh,
it's like you're going commando.
I hope you're enjoying the Skype session. Michael Crabtree, start or sit?
He's a good third receiver.
I agree. There's something that's telling me to start him this week.
Crabtree or Hank?
I don't like this. I don't like what's happening.
What the
Chris Johnson's all of a sudden back in action, and now Michael Crabtree's all these guys that are supposed to suck are now doing good things, and I feel like I'm going to get burned by it.
Should we revisit the all what we call it the other time?
All
the
old
all washed
team?
Up team no. or something?
What'd you say?
All washed up.
All washed up team. So if Vic had played well last night, he would easily be the quarterback
over Carson Palmer. Because
yeah,
wasn't
but
Carson
Palmer's
Palmer
not,
supposed to be washed up?
Yeah.
Like, I wanted Carson Palmer in draft.
Of course, but...
I don't think Carson Palmer
would have been even
was washed
right,
up.
Sure.
Huh?
I don't think he was washed up, Carson Palmer.
No. All right, we'll put Vic there. He's going to have an opportunity to start for the next week.
You know who's washed up? Peyton Manning.
Chris Johnson
Drew
is
Brees.
The running back.
Yeah.
Drew Brees could be on the all-washed up team.
Yeah.
But you have to play well to be on the all-washed up team.
Right.
And Drew Brees hasn't done that yet.
All right.
So
Peyton
Manning, there.
Peyton's the quarterback. Chris Johnson and
Darren McFadden?
No.
He had a touchdown.
Who was the quarterback? Who was the running backs last time we did it?
I don't think
D'Angelo.
There are that many.
D'Angelo.
There aren't a lot of. Oh, D'Angelo.
It was D'Angelo that
time,
guy.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's not anymore.
No.
So he kick him off the all washed
right.
up team.
So it's Chris Johnson.
We got
and
a spot
Fitzgerald.
Over. Chris Johnson is
we'll
our
come back
lead
to
back.
James Jones off. Is one receiver.
Yeah, Fitzgerald. Like, right?
Crabtree is like the flex.
Oh, Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald should be on there.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Fitzgerald for sure.
He's the headliner.
What about Steve Smith? Even
yeah.
after yesterday? I
yep.
think he belongs. So Crabtree doesn't even make the all washed up team.
Oh, we got a flex.
All right.
Let's keep going here. We like Martellus Bennett a lot. Yeah, that's it. Alshon Jeffrey, hooray. And would you rather have Michael Crabtree or Leonard Hankerson this week?
Crabtree.
Oakland DST. Jamie actually has them 13th. Dave says, no way, 22nd overall.
They stink.
Yeah, but if Jimmy Clausen plays, that's a pick six.
Doesn't matter.
Philadelphia at Washington. Low scoring game, high scoring game, middle. What do you think?
Low scoring game.
I'll say middle.
Who are you excited about in this game?
In a hurricane, it's going to be nothing.
Yeah, who are you excited about in this game?
Perfect weather. I would be excited about Jordan Matthews, Pierre Garçon, Jordan Reed. That's it.
I would add Darren Sproles. I think he's going to be the best Philadelphia running back. You know how I feel about Alfred Morris. I think he's going to have a good opportunity. I got a feeling about Nelson Agholor because he's lined up on the outside. He's played a lot for Philadelphia, but he's had a lot of good cornerbacks in his face the first 3 weeks. And now Washington's secondary is a mess. D'Angelo Hall, whether you think he's good or not, he's not playing. I think there's another guy. There's two more that aren't playing. So they're already thin at cornerback in Washington. I think Agholor might get going. And if Jordan Matthews gets going and Nelson Agholor gets going, then maybe we're all missing Sam Bradford. I don't want to take a chance with Sam Bradford, but I'm just saying, if we're putting all these players out there, and I know you're not, Jamie, you're not saying Nelson Agholor is going to have a big
game. No, because Sam Bradford has turned into Alex Smith. He's afraid to throw the ball down the field.
I think the cornerbacks have done that to him, the cornerbacks that they've played. I think he takes more chances.
He's done that to himself. I hope he does, but I am no way touching Nelson Agholor. I would love to see him play well. I hope you're right, but man, that guy has just been disappointing.
And that's the big difference in the Philadelphia passing game. Like the last 2 years, it was Jackson and Cooper. It was Macklin and Matthews. It was two guys, and they've only got one reliable guy. It's just killing Sam Bradford. Maybe it's Bradford's fault, but that's the big difference. Bradford or Stafford?
Bradford.
Bradford or Tannehill?
Bradford.
Bradford.
But I would have started either quarterback last night ahead of Bradford.
Okay. So
I lose.
We have... If DeMarco Murray plays, just, like, is he worse than Danny Woodhead? Is he worse than Joseph Randall? Guys like that?
Yep.
You want to
Because
sit
I don't think he's going to get the same type of workload that he had in week one.
You're counting on him to score a touchdown. Like, I am ranked, I think, like 20 or 21st, and it's just with the touchdown potential.
If he doesn't play, do you like Ryan Matthews?
Yes.
Yeah, oh yeah. Ryan Matthews is a top 20 running back.
Top 20, but we should keep in mind Washington's been very good against the run.
Yep.
Okay.
But so were the Jets last week, though, before the Eagles faced them.
Sproles in a PPR league, what do you think?
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, he's my favorite running back
for Philadelphia. Yeah, but if he doesn't score touchdowns, though, he's not very good. Look at his numbers. He played great last week, and he didn't score.
If Washington bottles up Philly's run game, he's going to be on the field a lot.
On grass, on a messy field, I don't want any part of Darren Sproles. He is great on turf. He is mediocre on grass. Again, look at his numbers last week. Take away the touchdown. Was he up 2 fantasy points?
But he did have the punt return for a touchdown. I don't know if that...
Yeah, but you probably don't get...
No.
Well, in special teams, I would start him for
you
sure.
I know you don't get...
Yards. Absolutely.
I know you don't get points for that in most leagues, but I'm just saying, like, he did do that on grass. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. I mean, look, he's going to make plays on grass, but look what he did week one. Go back to last year, every time he played on turf.
Yeah. Okay.
And then look at what he did the last 2 weeks.
It's a great point. Now, when I talked about Martellus Bennett, I said Eifert, Fleener. I forgot Jordan Reed. Would you rather have Martellus Bennett or Jordan Reed?
Bennett.
Reed.
You look at what the Eagles have actually been great against tight ends. They allowed one touchdown to a tight end last year, none so far this year. So you have to just buy into Reed's targets. You still start him, but there is no chance I would start him against the Eagles. I don't care who the quarterback is, over Martellus Bennett against the Raiders. Again, that's the best matchup for any player this week, bar none.
Carolina's at Tampa Bay. You guys love Cam Newton. Jamie has him 5th. Dave has him 2nd.
Yeah, I'm going to move him up because of Luck's injury, so he'll be a little higher.
Okay. Are there any Tampa Bay players that you... We went into the whole Mike Evans situation, so he's not a great start. So does that mean pretty much sit all Bucks?
Yep.
Again, you don't sit Mike Evans unless you have other great options. So just keep that in mind. I just think he's going to have a difficult game.
But if you picked up Moncrief, if you picked up James Jones, those are
obvious
guys.
Yes, I would start
those
two guys over Mike Evans.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about Doug Martin? 7 fantasy points in a standard scoring league. Will he get that? Doug Martin.
That's his ceiling.
What a shame. Jonathan Stewart, 7 fantasy points. Gosh, Tampa Bay, they've given up 4 rushing touchdowns and 1 receiving touchdown to a running back. Go back to the last 8 games of 2014, 7 running backs at either 100 total yards or a touchdown. The only one who didn't was Jonathan Stewart.
Right.
And he's been so bad this year. Jonathan Stewart or Doug Martin?
Stewart.
Stewart if he's healthy.
Stewart or Randall?
I hate that I have Jonathan Stewart ranked where I have him.
Stewart
or Randall?
Stewart or Randall? Randall?
Randall.
Where do you have Jonathan Stewart, Dave, that you hate so much?
16th. Yeah. He's going to move down one spot for sure.
Behind who?
Behind Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson should start ahead of Jonathan Stewart. I almost hope he doesn't play.
How about this?
But it's just because of workload and matchup.
For a flex, Ted Ginn or Jonathan Stewart?
Stewart. Still Stewart.
Start or sit Ted Ginn?
I feel like I'm in a line at the amusement park. It's the Jonathan Stewart ride, and you get in the you get into the ride, the roller coaster, and it goes 50 feet, and it's done. Like, you know what you're getting into. It's not exciting. It's not fun. It's going to suck. But that's the Jonathan Stewart ride at the amusement park.
Do you get a picture after the...
Yes, but it's not of you.
Oh, great.
It's an MRI. Your knee.
Ted Ginn, start or sit?
I think Ginn is in the Michael Crabtree discussion as a third receiver. I mean, look, the targets have been there for him. It's hard to overlook that. And touchdown 2 weeks ago, 90 yards receiving last week. It's completely fluky, but so is guys like Crabtree and that, you know, contingent of receivers. So if I'm stuck, I have no problem with it.
Green Bay at San Francisco. We have discussed Colin Kaepernick. All right, Carlos Hyde. I really believe that the Packers are a different defense away from Lambeau. I talk every week when they're at home about how good they are against running backs. And yes, Jamaal Charles scored 3 touchdowns, but he only got 49 rushing yards. So how confident are you in Carlos Hyde? Home game here. Maybe the Niners are better at home. They've only had one home game. What do you think?
I would say he'd probably get around 60 yards and a touchdown.
That's it?
Yep.
I think he can. I'm worried about him scoring. Nah, no, I'm not. I think 60 and a touchdown is probably right on.
It's, you know, game flow will be a huge part of this. Because I don't care what Colin Kaepernick does. Green Bay is going to be winning this game. So it's just a matter of how much they're winning this game.
Just because I took the time to do this research, and I'm not sure it means anything, but I'm going to say it anyway. You might be interested to know. Last year, 8 road games for Green Bay. The first 5 of them, a running back at 100 rushing yards or a rushing touchdown in all 5 games. Seattle, Detroit, Chicago, Miami, New Orleans. There were 3 huge games in there. It was Lynch, Forte, and Ingram. Then they got better toward the end of the year, but they faced worse competition. They faced they faced St. Louis, I think. I don't know. They faced 3 bad teams. 3
That's
bad running
research.
Teams. Yeah. What happened? Oh, Minnesota.
It's like my impromptu
Minnesota, Buffalo, and Tampa Bay. There we go. I had too many notes. Minnesota, Buffalo, and Tampa Bay. Do you trust the Niners wide receivers? I mean, Dave, if you like Kaepernick, who's he gonna throw to?
Bolden, I think, gets a bunch of targets, and I think Torrey Smith is in the same type of conversation as Ted Ginn.
No way.
Absolutely.
Not for me. He's hurt. He's not playing well. Kaepernick cannot throw the ball down the field. If Kaepernick's going to get his big game, it's going to be because he's running the ball. It's not going to be because his receiver's out. Bolden, you start, but there's no way Torrey Smith.
He's the exact same. You're defending Ted Ginn, who's caught less
who's
than
healthy.
Half. Of, he's caught less
who's
than
healthy.
Half of his targets. Are his hands healthy? They've never been.
I'm sorry, frying pans. Torrey Smith hands are great. Right
he
now.
Doesn't have frying pan hands. He's got frying pan knees, but he doesn't have frying pan hands. They're both the exact same guy.
I hope Colin Kaepernick does not let you down.
Aaron Rodgers, in a 6-point per passing touchdown league last year, scored 20 fantasy points per game on the road and 32.25 fantasy points per game at home. So keep that in mind if you're putting him in your FanDuel lineup. And Eddie Lacy, you think full go? Back to must start this week?
Yep.
Okay. Dallas at New Orleans. If I have a concern about Joseph Randle, it's that this is a primetime New Orleans home game, and I wonder if the score gets away from Dallas and he's on the bench a lot, and it's a Dunbar game. Is that a valid concern?
Absolutely.
But you still have Randle like top 15 or 16, right?
I think he'll score.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who's better this week, Joseph Randle or Terrence Williams?
Oh, Randle. You can't trust Terrence Williams with Whedon. Another guy doesn't throw the ball down the field.
Lance Dunbar in a PPR league, is he a top 24 guy?
No. Top 30, though.
Dunbar or Lamar Miller, PPR?
Dunbar.
Oh, that sucks.
And it's pretty darn close in the standard, too, I'll have you know.
Jason Witten, top 8, number 8 exactly for both of you in both formats. Mark Ingram, we are starting. He's only averaging 3.3 yards per carry. What is your overall outlook for Mark Ingram right now?
I mean, look what Devontae Freeman just did to that defense.
Yeah, they were good, though, against the run the first 2 weeks. Dallas had a terrible week last week. I understand you're starting him, but how do you feel about Ingram overall? Like, just rest of season.
I think 80 total yards and touchdown is easy for him to get this week.
Is he a guy you're confident in, though, going on your
roster?
Yes.
I mean, look at the running backs around the NFL right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Opportunities, catching passes, scoring. Okay. What about the other New Orleans running backs?
Hands off for me until I see something.
Brandon
Cooks.
I think
Spiller gets more work this week.
Brandon Cooks.
I just traded
Dave.
CJ Spiller in a half point PPR league for Marvin Jones.
Nice.
Dave, your thoughts on Brandon Cooks?
I think if you expect what he did last week, you'll be okay, which is 7 for 70-something yards.
This is going to be his best game of the season by far, if Breeze is healthy.
How come?
Because I just don't think Dallas' defense is very good.
Okay.
Home game, prime time.
Yeah, they better not have another. I railed against this last year, but they better not have another primetime home game because it is not fair. It's just like giving them wins. Last year, they actually lost to Baltimore, and New Orleans is not the same team. Like, they're bad now. But they don't, like, I don't know that any team should get 2 primetime home games a year. It's just like, it's a big advantage for a lot of these teams. But anyway, that's my soapbox. St. Louis at Arizona. We're sitting all the Rams, right?
Yep.
Even Lance Kendricks.
We have talked about the running backs for Arizona. Larry Fitzgerald, you are starting. John Brown, what do you think?
Scored against them last year at home. I don't buy into their secondary being good. Their front 7 is great, but they're still a little shaky, especially their cornerbacks. They take too many chances for my taste. I think Palmer will continue to look for him. Should have had a touchdown last week. I think he gets one this week.
I hope he does, because he's been a disappointment since week one, and last week was really just horrible. That drop was so bad. Hated seeing it. Hopefully he rectifies it this week.
So I'm going to say that if the Rams do well against the wide receivers in this game, then we need to start taking it a little bit more seriously, because they've done well against wide receivers. Antonio Brown had 100 yards last week. He's Antonio Brown. He's the only wide receiver so far with more than 7 fantasy points in standard.
But look who they played.
All right. I respect that. But I'm just saying, I think take it
seriously. Garcon didn't get more than 7?
No, he had 20-something and a touchdown.
So wouldn't that be 8?
Shoot, that would be 8. He had half a fumble.
6 plus 2 is 6, Jamie.
I don't know why I did that.
Man, you were doing that research when you were picking up Anthony Dixon, right?
I was doing that research this morning, and this was the last game I did, so I must have flubbed that. But look, they have a great
just pulled a John Brown.
They have a great defensive line, so you know it's hard to pass against a team that can get after the passer.
Without a doubt. But I think, do we know if Upati's playing?
I don't know.
I mean, he was supposed to play last week, so I think I heard Brazarian say he's getting closer.
All right.
That'll definitely help.
Emails.
I just don't think you could stop this Cardinals passing attack.
Oh, look, like I said, if they do it this week, I think then you start looking at a trend that's worth considering.
Sure, but you also go back to last year, and it's only showed up so far in 2 games, and you know it wasn't huge games, but number one receivers either scoring a touchdown or getting 100 yards against them.
But I feel like last year, Doug Baldwin like went off against them, didn't he?
Yeah, but that was part of it.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing. Like last year, they were so bad that even the Doug Baldwins of the world were going off against St. Louis.
Right, but Baldwin, that was the game right after they traded Percy Harvin.
Okay.
So it was almost like, let's feature a guy.
Yeah. Maybe there's improvement. That's all I'm saying. Let's keep an eye out on it. Keep an eye out for it. Okay, emails. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. From Awesome Guy. That's his name. Dave, where's Awesome Guy from?
Well, he's from the awesomest town in the nation, of course.
Paducah.
Or City, Iowa.
Oh.
Midwest?
I missed that, Dave. Where?
Sioux City, Iowa.
Sioux City, Iowa. Sorry. Aaron Rodgers or Cam Newton this week?
Rodgers.
Yeah.
From Justin, grade the trade.
If you have that scenario with what quarterbacks are happening right now, please trade Cam Newton.
Seriously. Grade the trade from Justin. Hello, Greg, Colin, Tim, and Nick. No idea. Give up Le'Veon Bell and Brandon Cooks. Get Beckham, Landry, and Lamar Miller. Le'Veon Bell and Brandon Cooks. Get Beckham, Landry, and Lamar Miller.
I mean, the only way I would do that is if I'm really stuck at receiver.
So you wouldn't
do that? I don't like it.
grade it?
D.
Dave, you playing?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Greg, those four names are something called Kind of Funny. Never heard of it. I hear it's kind of funny. From Warren, where's Warren from?
Nebraska.
Ty Montgomery or Michael Floyd? Standard scoring.
Floyd.
Eventually, Floyd's got to do something, right?
They were trying last week.
Don't you think the Packers 49ers game is going to be moderately high scoring?
Yes, but I would not buy into Aaron Rodgers throwing 5 touchdowns last week and Ty Montgomery having 2 targets.
He had one of the touchdowns.
Hey, listen, I'm sorry to do that to you, but I got to go. So just let's do answers as quick as possible. So Jamie says Floyd. Dave?
I'll say Montgomery.
Bill from Oak Forest, Illinois. Dear Fatso, Stinky, and Stretch, Vic or Ryan or Booby Dixon? Yeah, those are some old podcast jokes. Real question, Carson Palmer or Andrew Luck?
Well, we don't know right now.
Right.
If Luck practices today, Luck. If Luck does not practice today, Palmer. And every Luck owner needs to make contingency plans right now.
Okay. This is from Victor. He is starting Eddie Lacy and Carlos Williams. Would you start Hyde, Matt Jones, David Johnson, or Chris Johnson over Lacy or Williams?
No.
Mm-mm.
Next one is
nice
from Josh in a city in Western Washington.
Margate.
Okay. Starter sit, Jeremy Hill or Carlos Hyde?
I'd go with Hill.
I would too.
Last one here. Dave from small town Wisconsin. Dear Brett, Reggie, Gilbert, and Leroy, or Leroy.
It's going to be Oxford Beach, Wisconsin.
Okay. These are Packers. PPR league. Need to play 2 running backs and a flex. He's got... he already played Le'Veon Bell, so he needs 1 running back and a flex. Lamar Miller, Carlos Williams, Arian Foster. What do you do? Because the problem is Miller's playing at 9:30 in the morning.
Well, Miller isn't even in the equation. Right?
True.
He has to be. He's got to have 2 of those guys.
No. He had Le'Veon
Bell. He doesn't have anybody else that he could cut and pick up.
You're not cutting Lamar Miller.
He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. He had Le'Veon Bell, so he only needs 1 running back and 1 flex. So sit Miller.
Well, no, you can't.
Why? He's got a flex. He could put somebody else in the flex.
He's got 3 guys. You got to choose 2?
Yes.
Are those the only 3 he has to choose from?
Yeah, but okay. Like, do you sit Miller for Arian Foster and take your chances at
9:30? Is if you
it depends. If I have no one else, then I don't think you can.
If I wake up and I have to make a decision at 9:25 and I don't know anything about Foster, I'm playing Miller.
Right. Yeah, I screwed that up. Yeah, you got to play Miller in that scenario. All right, guys. Thank you very much. Good show. Appreciate it. We'll talk to y'all on Saturday night, Ion Fantasy Football. Fantasy Football Today, live noon Eastern, Monday through or Tuesday through Friday, and 11 a.m. Eastern on Sunday morning. And by the way, that's CBS Sports Radio. You can listen to that. Just go to CBSSportsRadio.com. You can find out ways to listen or listen on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate.
The Colts made a roster move, Adam.
Oh, yeah?
They signed quarterback Josh Johnson.
Uh-oh.
Interesting.
Usually not a good thing.
That's it for me and Dave and Jamie. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Saturday night.
Bye.